In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are now in the season of Advent, where the message to us is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A penitential season where we are getting ourselves ready for the coming of the King, Jesus, who may return at any time. And we have the preaching of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, where he goes out before the Lord to prepare the way for him, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then recorded for us in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when Jesus began his public ministry, he came speaking unto the people. Just after his temptation in the wilderness, he begins his public ministry by saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So repentance is at the very beginning of our Lord's ministry, and it is the foundation of our Christian experience. We can begin to understand who God is when we turn away from our sins and turn toward God. And that is essentially what repentance is. It's a turning away from sin, from that which is not love, and turning toward God, to the God who is love. So think of the prodigal son who goes back to the goodness of his father's house. The 180-degree turnaround, stopping the going this direction and going then toward God. So this is the whole message of Advent. And we see that repentance has a threefold nature. It begins with contrition, which is heartfelt sorrow for sin, where a person really does feel the weight of their sin and they're sorry for it. So it's different than remorse, where a person may feel really bad they got caught. Oh, that's a little different. This is where a person acknowledges that they have sinned before God. They're sad about that broken relationship. They repent with contrition. So contrition is heartfelt sorrow. And then confession, where a person humbly acknowledges how they have transgressed and admits to it. And then purpose of amendment, where they agree with God to do those things no longer, and by his help, go and sin no more. Now, Psalm 51 that we just heard is the quintessential repentance psalm. It's the hymn of David that he wrote after sinning with Bathsheba, where he connived with his military commander Joab to have Uriah, her husband, killed in battle. And these things that David did, taking another man's wife and having him killed in battle, these things did not please the Lord. So he sent Nathan the prophet to reveal to him that God knew what he had done and that judgment would come upon his house for the things that he had done. And it wasn't long after that the child that he and Bathsheba conceived died, and it wasn't too many years after that the sword did not leave David's house, and it caused, it was the ground of confusion that brought the rebellion of Absalom. So sin has its consequences, but David writes this psalm that he might be made right with God. Against thee only have I sinned, and restore relationship with God. And the psalm is phenomenal in its deep understanding. David, who had a heart after God, and we can learn from this holy scripture, which has been written for our learning, right? These scriptures are written for our learning, and we can begin to inwardly digest, as the collect for today recommends, or beseeches God and exhorts. It petitions God and exhorts us that we would inwardly digest the scriptures so that this would now become part of who we are. This becomes our prayerful attitude toward God. In review of the psalm, I saw three elements emerge. And one is the petitions that David makes before God. The other is his understanding of God's character. And then what is his part? So listen to these petitions that David makes, and this shows us how to pray. We internalize the scripture, right? Hear it, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest the scripture. It becomes part of who we are. Here's how we can come before God in prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, is the first petition. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. Do away my offenses. This is what we ask God. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness. Cleanse me from my sin. Make me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Give me the comfort of thy help again. Establish me with thy free spirit, and deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. So these petitions can be our petitions. We make them our own. And you'll see that happen in the way of in the Anglican way with our prayer book, in the way that we pray every day, morning and evening prayer. It takes the scripture and moves it into the devotional language of the prayers, personal prayers and corporate prayers, and becomes the foundation and school for how we pray. So after we say the Lord's Prayer in both morning prayer and evening prayer, you'll hear these same petitions that are made. Well, you hear it at the very beginning. O Lord, open thou our lips, right? So that's from Psalm 51. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. We already see it internalized and prayed. And then at the end of the Lord's Prayer, you hear this, the suffrages, where the minister says, then the answer comes back, O Lord, show thy mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O God. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O God, may clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. We're praying Psalm 51 in the corporate prayers of morning prayer and evening prayer. And this becomes, again, part of our own prayer language, where we're used to saying that. God, have mercy upon us, right? Make me a new heart. That's something that can help us greatly when we begin to become very aware of the inclinations of our heart, when it begins to, you know, leave off the track of the straight, narrow path and start to go off to the side with whatever distraction. We can say, you know, recognizing that, say, God, make me a new heart. Let me live according to the new heart that you've given me in Christ, and not according to the old man, but the new creature you've made in me with Christ dwelling in me. Make me a new heart, O God. And we need that kind of renewal. You know, a lot of people in this country are looking for political answers to moral problems. And what really needs to change in this country is not government, but the heart of the people. That's where it needs to change. And it can change beginning with us. We don't, as Christians, we don't look for some kind of social revolution that doesn't begin with us. You know, if we think we can reform others without reforming ourselves, we're sorely mistaken. So our hearts have to change. Make me a new heart, O God. And we see that God is ready, willing, and able to do this. We see the character of God that is made known to us through this beautiful psalm. And listen to the marks of the character of God. Who is God? He is a God of great goodness. He is a God who shows a multitude of mercies. He is a God who can wash away our wickedness. He can cleanse us from all our sin. He will be justified in his sayings. It means he's always right. He will be clear when he shall judge. He'll make the truth known to us. He requires truth in the inward parts. You can't say that you know God if you're not willing to let him go deep into who you are. He requires truth in the inward parts. And that deep conversion is what he calls all of us to. That is the holy oil, by the way, that the church understands. That's the holy oil that the virgins who are ready for the coming of the bridegroom, their lamps are full. And their lamps are full with holiness. And that deep conversion that God demands. He will make me to understand wisdom. He will purge me with hyssop. He will wash me. He'll make me hear of joy and gladness. God is a God who will turn his face from our sins. He'll put away our misdeeds. He can make us a clean heart. He can renew a right spirit within us. He can cast us away from his presence. So he is a God that is not, who will not trifle with sin. And if we cling to sin, then that's our choice. And we brought judgment upon ourselves. He is one who can cast us away from his presence, and he can take his Holy Spirit away from us. He can give us the comfort of his help again, his strength. He can establish us with his free spirit. He can deliver us from blood guiltiness. He is the God of our health. He desires no sacrifice. He delights not in burnt offerings. His sacrifice is a troubled heart, and he will not despise our broken and contrite hearts. He can be favorable, or he will be favorable and gracious unto Zion. He will build the walls of Jerusalem, and by extension, he will build the church in us. And he can be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness and with burnt offerings and oblations. That is who our God is. And all this information about who is God comes to us through this holy scripture of Psalm 51. Very short psalm, but it tells us so much about who is God. And this is the God that we worship, adore, and dedicate our lives to. And so the first part that comes out of the petitions, and then the character of God, and then the response. Like, what is our part? And David shows us our part. I acknowledge my faults. And then shall I teach thy ways unto the wicked when I'm converted and strengthened. My mouth shall show thy praise. And then can they offer young bullocks upon thine altar. So the petitions he makes are great. God's character is great. And our part is what? That we would repent. I acknowledge my faults. That we would show others the way of truth. And then I will teach thy ways unto the wicked. And my mouth shall show thy praise. I'll worship and adore thee, O God. And when all these things are in the correct order, then I can make a sacrifice. And ultimately, we make no sacrifice to God that is not combined with the one true and holy sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. So you see, God does the heavy lifting. It's all about him. And if we can understand that, we can really enter into the freedom that is ours as his children, to let him do the heavy lifting of converting our soul, washing it clean, and then responding then with grace according to his gracious will. May God grant to us hearts of repentance in this holy season of Advent, and may we come to a deeper and deeper understanding of the love of God for us as we read the Holy Scriptures and digest them, internalize them, and live them out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.